we've discussed over the past several months where we were spiritually speaking. And we've been looking forward to the Bible conference as potentially a means that God might get us out of that rut, that he might bring a revival into our midst. And I want you to know this morning, I feel revived. And I hope you share that same feeling. And based on what I've heard here this morning and through the conference and since, I believe many of you share this. But we also need to be mindful that we can't depend on feelings. We will know over the course of the next few months, I think, if we are indeed experiencing revival. The feelings will fade. That doesn't mean revival fades. And so let us be careful about that and tend to that. Now, I want to share some things that I learned or heard from or were reminded of from the sermons during the conference. Now, I'm not trying to re-preach any of the sermons. If you want that, Brother Sam has been very faithful to make copies, CDs, of each of the sermons. I think he's also got videos of the sermons as well. And I urge you to listen to that, yes.
Well, be thankful, Brother Sam.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not trying to re-preach any of those sermons, but I do want to share a few thoughts from what I heard. And may it please God to use these thoughts in this service today to continue this revival in our hearts. Many of the pastors, in their sermons, referenced Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and particularly verses 3 through 6, but also all the way down to verse 14. I want to read this morning verses 3 through 6 as a starting place for us. And then what I want to try to do, time permitting, is look at a point from each of the preachers, a point, not necessarily their main point from the message, but something that just touched my heart from a message from each one of the five preachers, and share some thoughts with you. Let's read this text first, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you know what? We're going to stop right there and pray, because as we go through these verses, I'm going to start preaching. And normally I read the text, pray, and then preach. Let's go ahead and pray. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day, this beautiful day you've given us to gather together as one body, as a congregation of believers, in unity, in peace, with one spirit, to worship you as our holy and sovereign God. We are thankful, Lord, as has been expressed here so well this morning, so very thankful to you, O Lord, for this conference that we have experienced, the messages, the songs, the food, the fellowship, the service together, everything was so wonderful. And we have you, O Lord, to thank for that.
Amen.
And we do. Lord, bless the reading of your word and bless these thoughts here this morning. And indeed we pray, and it is my earnest prayer, Lord, that you would continue revival in our hearts, individually and as a congregation. Amen. May it please you to do so, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 3, we read there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The blessings that we have experienced from the conference come from God above. He blessed us with these wonderful things. But he has blessed us even with more than those wonderful things. All spiritual blessings come from him. Spiritual blessings would include spiritual life that he gives to us. Brother W.T., I think, pointed to that in his devotional or his reading this morning before at the beginning of this service. We have been blessed with spiritual blessings that we do not deserve and that we could never work for and earn in any way. But God gave them to us anyway. Praise be to God. And I want you to understand something. We are a special people. And when I say we, I mean all who are of the elect of God. But I speak specifically this morning to this congregation of believers, those who have made a profession of faith in the Lord, those who have a testimony that indeed they have been quickened by the power of God and have come to conversion and are living lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, following in His example. We are a special people, not because of what we do, but because of God who has given to us spiritual life. What He has given to us comes through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should always hold up the great work of Christ, especially upon Calvary, as He bore the wrath of God for our sins, and then died, and then rose again. That work that He did, He passes on to us. He covers us with His righteousness. He takes away our sin. That was taken away and dealt with there on the cross. And then He clothes us with His righteousness. That makes us a special people. His work makes us a special people in the sight of God. And always know that God looks down upon us with great favor because of His Son and because of what Jesus has done and because we belong to Him for all eternity. As it says in verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We were chosen for a purpose. That we would be holy. But Brother James, I can't be holy. No, but Jesus is holy. Yeah. And He gives to us His holiness. Yeah. And He lives out, we live out that holiness. We can indeed be a holy people.
Yes, we can.
And we must strive for that. We must set aside sin and live for God and do the things that please God. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, sometimes people take a negative view of adoption. But I want you to know, I have not experienced this personally. I've merely observed this. But you take a child that has no family, and the number one thing they long for is to be a part of a family. People, we had no spiritual family because we were dead spiritually. And God has adopted us into His family. And that should stir our hearts. That should be thrilling to us to know that He has done this, that He has accomplished this according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now I want to go into some points from some other passages, and I'll give them to you. The first one's in Mark chapter 6. You might go ahead and turn there. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. And I want you to know this morning, I begin with a premise. And that premise is that we have no excuse to be in a rut, spiritually speaking. When we consider what God has done for us, it really is inexcusable for us to find ourselves in a spiritual rut. But the reality is that we do find ourselves there, both individually at times and even as a whole congregation at times. We will go through seasons where it will be so, where we will feel like we are far away from God. What do we do about that? Well, I think one thing we can do is remind ourselves of some truths. And that's where I want to come to you from this morning. The first truth from Brother Pat Horner's message when he preached about Peter walking on the water, the first truth is this. We need to understand this. It is possible for believers' hearts to be hardened. Now, I want you to let that sink in for a moment, because I often think about someone whose heart is hardened is someone like Pharaoh, who is in rebellion against God, who is lost and undone and unregenerate. Oh yeah, those people have hardened hearts. But the sad fact of the matter is, even God's people's hearts can be hardened at times. And we need to understand that. First of all, because sin has that effect. But also, lack of faith has that effect.
Yeah.
And we need to know that. And we need to understand that so we can deal with it when it happens. In Mark chapter 6, going back to verse 45, this comes after the feeding of the 5,000. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, we're talking about 12 men who have been walking with Christ for some period of time now, who had witnessed great miracles, and they understood those miracles to point to Christ, Jesus, as being the Messiah. They had come to that understanding. Now, they will learn much more as time goes on, but they were walking closely with Jesus. They knew he was performing miracles. They had just seen him perform the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And yet, their hearts were hardened. Why were they hardened? Well, if you look at that passage, I think we can see a few things. First of all, they felt a separation from Jesus. Now, physically, indeed, Jesus had sent them on. He retired to a mountain to pray. And we see there that Jesus looked down upon the lake they were in and saw them rowing, toiling, to try to keep the ship steady and straight and on its way to its destination and to get through this storm. The disciples could not see that, and they did not see that. All they saw was the storm. Folks, we're going to get into situations in life. They're going to be a great big old storm. And we're going to be rowing as hard as we can. And our eyes are not going to be on Jesus. Because in the flesh, it seems naturally, our eyes go to our circumstances and not to our Savior. And when we do that, our hearts will be hardened. So much so, they did not even recognize Jesus when he first appears in their sight. They jumped to the conclusion that he was a spirit. First of all, they could not comprehend how a man could walk on water. Even though they'd seen that miracle of the loaves, they still could not get that. And so they did not even see Jesus at first. But as Brother Pat pointed out, I want you to note something about Jesus. He did not rebuke them on this occasion. Now, he would rebuke them in the Scriptures. He does rebuke them from time to time in the Scriptures. But on this occasion, he did not rebuke them. He simply said, "Be of good cheer. It is I." And that's what we need to hear from our Lord. When we're laboring and we're toiling and things are greater than we can handle, we need to hear those words from the Lord. "Be of good cheer. It is I." And Jesus is faithful to tell us that. Sometimes we don't see him at first, though. And sometimes something has to happen to cause that to sink into our hearts. But when it does, oh, the peace that we experience. Oh, the comfort that showers down upon us when that happens. You see, one thing we need to understand is God is always working. Their hearts have grown hardened to the point they could not see God working. But God is always working on behalf of his people. If he did not, we would perish. We would not be able to survive here. He's always working for his people. Even when we have hardened hearts, even when we're in a spiritual rut, he's working for us. Did I really promise y'all we were going to get out of here on time? We may have to carry this over into next Sunday, if the Lord wills. I do want to go to one more point, and we'll dismiss after this one. This point comes from one of Brother McDougall's messages. And he made a point that doctrine should be lived. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 now, first three verses. Doctrine should be lived. We are a people of doctrine. If you don't believe it, just sit around and listen to us. We're going to be talking about doctrine, okay? I'm talking about this congregation. We are a people of doctrine. We don't look too kindly upon these people who say there is no place for doctrine in the Lord's church in these days. We wholeheartedly disagree with that, don't we? We're people of doctrine. We believe the Scriptures teach us important things.
Yes.
Things that we need to agree on. Okay? So we're a people of doctrine. We believe the doctrines. We need to live the doctrines.
Absolutely.
In Ephesians 4, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We've got to live the doctrine that we believe. Folks, I want you to look at verses 2 and 3 for a moment. There are times when we're not lowly nor meek. There are times when we are not long-suffering with one another. That we don't forbear one another in love. That we don't endeavor. That's a strong word. When we don't endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And when we don't do those things, in time, guess where we're going to wake up and find ourselves? In a spiritual rut. If we are to be the people God has called us to be, then we must believe his word and we must live his
Amen.
Word.
Yes.
The problem is, we have to do this with one another. And we're not always very likable or lovable, or, you know, sometimes we don't feel like getting along with one another. What do? We do it anyway. We live the doctrine that we believe. And when we do, I believe the Lord will bless us. He will bless that effort. And praise be to God that He does. We do go through dry seasons. We do sometimes find ourselves in a dry and thirsty land. We must not falter. We need to be practicing Christians no matter the season. Sometimes our problem is we feel like we don't need to practice very much. I remember coaching my son, coached him in basketball and a little bit of baseball as he was growing up. Caleb didn't like to practice. He wanted to go to the field. He wanted to play. Didn't think much about practice. And it was hard for me to teach him we need to practice. Folks, sometimes we get to thinking we've got it all figured out and we're all ready and we're pumped up and we're just going to go do and we don't need to practice. It's just going to automatically happen. They don't work that way. To live for Christ takes a great deal of practice. And it takes understanding that the time to practice is the time we least want to be like Christ. When somebody makes us mad and they're talking ugly to us, what do we want to do? We want to talk ugly back. We want to strike back. We want to get even, when what we need to be doing is practicing what we say we believe.
Amen.
The doctrines teach us to love one another. The doctrines teach us to be long-suffering and forbearing with one another. Well, when are you going to do that? It's easy when everything's going good. It's not so easy when things aren't going so good. But that's when we need to practice. And it just may be God is working in that to teach us something.
Yeah.
So even when we find ourselves in a rut spiritually, that's not necessarily a bad thing if we're learning from the experience and we're growing stronger in Christ and our faith is growing. Then it's a good thing. We're going to stop there. I want you, and I have a couple of specific things, and we'll get into these next Lord's Day, if the Lord's willing. But I want you to be thinking, what do we do now? Do we just let everything kind of die down and go back to what we were before? I hope that's not your hope, your what you want to do. I hope we want to grow out of this and become even stronger in our service to the Lord. But that's not going to happen automatically. We're going to have to practice. We're going to have to get those eyes opened up, first of all, so we see Jesus. And we see what the circumstances are meant for. And we work on being followers of Christ. Let's join together in doing this. Let's pray about this. As earnestly as we prayed for the conference, let's now pray that God will continue this revival in our hearts.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank You again so much for all that You have done for us, for the conference, for all the other things, the blessings you give us each and every day, but especially for those spiritual blessings, oh Lord, that we have in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, just we do pray that you would keep our hearts turned towards revival.
Amen.
Lord, we're weak, and we will quickly turn back the other way in our flesh. Help us, Lord, to resist that and to stand strong for you and to follow you and to be close to you and to be close to one another as you have meant for it to be.
Yeah.
Lord, be strong in our weakness. Show us who you are. You are indeed that great sovereign God. Open our eyes to see this. Open our hearts to receive this. And then may we live it, O Lord, before others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.